As that you pray for the word of the Lord this morning, we trust that the word itself will be a special song to our heart. I would like to go over to Matthew, perhaps the 13th chapter. Considering today how our hearts grow a lot of things, our lives, the world is a seedbed. Coming from my background as being a farmer and planting crops, and sometimes you plant crops for the hope of tomorrow, for the benefit of perhaps of the cattle that you're trying to grow. You're wanting them to have some nutrients, and you want to have gain. You want them to flourish. And you look at the things that make that happen, and it doesn't happen by just happenstance. It's not by chance. Somebody purposefully worked on either that ground, the garden. We put intent into it. Before, my mother would plant a garden. We'd get started planting in March. We put out potatoes, and sometimes we had some English peas and some lettuce and stuff like that you'd plant earlier in the year, and you got that started. But before you ever did that, there was a process of making certain that the ground was good ground. You tilled it. In the Old Testament, there's the scripture that talks about breaking up the fallow ground. And that was directly speaking about the heart. Talking about us breaking up that unused ground, that ground that has not been dedicated and purposefully used. There's some breaking up, preparing for the purpose of growth. And the Lord would have us be willing to examine ourselves. Just like my mother used to when she was preparing for that garden, there were things we put on. Sometimes we plowed it in the fall. Sometimes we put on barnyard scrapings. And we would put that on that. There's things we would do. We put in that soil. And next year, maybe the ground was just on the edge of being unfrozen. It's time to kind of start breaking it up some more and incorporating that into the soil. I didn't like it. I never enjoyed any of that, because that part of that was my job. But I sure liked the new potatoes, and I liked the proceeds from that garden. And as a child, I didn't grasp then the necessity of taking care of it before you pick the product. There were some preparatory things that you did. Now the Lord wants our ground to grow abundantly. And the Lord would have us allow Him to remind us today to prepare the ground. The garden of our heart. So we want to look over here into Matthew, some of Jesus' words here. I think that if anything should mark children of God as they Christians who walk after the Lord, if there anything should be a mark that they have, if they were those who would stick close to the Word. The Word was important to them. They didn't go off and just have theory or philosophy as being the basis of what forms their life, but the Word of God itself. And I understand that some of us can look at the same scripture and come up with different ideas, but the Lord would dwell within us that we might understand how He sees it. So much of our understanding of scripture is based on what God reveals Himself to us as. Our understanding of Him that enlightens many times how I can understand it, even the scripture. And I know this is getting over into areas that we don't need to talk about this morning. But let's go back over here into Matthew, the 13th chapter. The same day, When Jesus went out of the house and sat by the seaside, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the sea, on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the way, by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, and they had not much earth. I wish I'd brought my glasses this morning. I'm sorry. Forgive me, but I'm going to go ahead and I keep wanting to do like this to my page. You ever? That means I've been reading on my phone too much. I kind of expand. So, I'm sorry. Would you mind? Forgive me, this is on the edge of embarrassing. Brother, that's your glasses, though. It does help, though. Where were we? On the fourth verse, maybe. And when he sowed, some seeds fell on by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100 and some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. It seems as though now that our Lord Jesus Christ was telling this parable and gave this scenario to their minds, and people were confronted now with the ideas that they had heard. What do you mean? Now, whenever we're confronted with scripture or ideas, we have two things that we can, at least two things that we can do. We can either discount it or and act like, and it doesn't mean anything to us, and we can pass on by it. Or we can become inquisitive. He that hath ear to hear, let him hear. I think the Lord was interested in people hearing what he had to say and stopping and pondering. But in any crowd, there's going to be some that take interest in what is being said, and some that maybe I've heard it before and I have my own ideas, and for whatever reason, all kinds of reasons that can come up within us, when we begin to discount or it doesn't mean much to us, maybe we might even acknowledge it as being true, but not important. And Jesus cried unto them and said, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I believe what he was saying, ponder what I've been telling you. What does this mean to you? It makes a lot of difference whenever we hear, when the Lord comes by and talks with us and says something to us. It's good for us to hear the whisper and not be dull of hearing, not be one that says, well, I've been to church, I've lived now among these people for so many years, I've heard the gospel preached, I've become quite accustomed to it, and you can preach it all day, and I assent to it and say it's true, but it's become so commonplace. If the Lord even came to correct me, I'm not sure I would recognize it, because it doesn't mean, nobody would admit that, but that's the way sometimes we can live our lives. that the Lord can come by in His loving touch and try to awaken us. The Lord, typically, most of the time, He doesn't shout at us. He's not a tyrant. The Lord comes and in His kindness and gentleness as a shepherd, as a good shepherd, He would give us a little guidance, a little bit of a whisper perhaps, something that, not that He can't speak loudly, because He will if He has to, but the Lord would much rather us listen carefully and attentively to what He has to say and allow His word to have impact, because I value it. It's important to me. Well, what did He just say? What does that mean? And I believe this crowd could have and should have. And some of them sure did. Listen to what He just said. If you were a part of that crowd that day and he talked, gave this story about the seed and the sower and the ground, the garden perhaps of our heart. And He said this, He gave this story. What would you think? How do you apply that? Well, if a person, as Jesus said, if they hunger and thirst after, they'll be filled. That's a prerequisite that the Lord Himself said. And the Lord would have us have the desire in our heart. When we hear Him, he that hath ears to hear, has God shut their ears? Well, some people, it goes on down here, perhaps in this reading and maybe another account of this same incident, same parable. It talked about them closing their own eyes. The Lord would have us to stop and carefully, intentionally ponder. What do you mean by that, Lord? You talked about the growth, the seed, the sowing, and that fell, some fell here and some fell. And I can then begin to relate that to back in my farming practices, where sometimes I saw places where the ground wasn't well loosened and wasn't prepared for the receiving of the seed, and it didn't do well, didn't germinate well. It has to take a special seed to be able to germinate much at all there. This seed that the Lord has, His word is very effective, very dynamic, it's very real, it's very potent. His word is good. It's good seed that He casts out there. The difference is the ground that lands on. It's the ground. If it lands on a rock, if our heart today is a stony heart, the Word of God won't do very well. The stony heart looks like this. It perhaps hears and has so much defense mechanisms built up that I'm not even going to ponder it. I don't believe it anymore. And there was a place that I found myself in one time as a youth. I had come to the place that I felt like that I've heard it. Whether I believe it or not wasn't even part of who I was at that point. I just didn't want it. That was a stony heart. I'm not going to go down all that story. I can remember back in my mind how the Lord began to tender my heart, though, and bring to a place that He said, when He convinced me that He loved me in spite of all my rebellion, that broke my rebellion. Yes, thank the Lord. So as we're pondering again the stony heart, our own garden, our own heart, how are we going to receive God's communication to you and I today? The Lord's interested in things in His seed producing abundantly in our heart. And so the Lord appeals to us to think, consider, listen. If you have ears to hear, you heard it. Stop and think, consider it, allow it to affect the way you respond to it. Don't be a stony-hearted person. The stony heart, some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no depth, no deepness of earth. Talks about the fowls by the wayside. When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. For you're trampling along the edge of a field. Sometimes we want to go out and kind of check the crops, and you like to drive on the edge. But even though you're doing that, sometimes you're running over some crop. And anytime you're running over the crop, you're damaging that crop, and a lot of times it dies. There have been times that you pick up the planter and you turn it around and get ready to set it back down, and you dribble some seeds out there on the wayside, and the birds come and get it. So again, that should teach us of the carefulness of receiving of the word and burying it within our heart, implanting it. Lord, put it deep within me. It's precious to me. Even though I don't understand, I don't think these people who heard this parable, I don't know how many of them understood what Jesus said. They could have stopped and pondered and gleaned perhaps some. The disciples themselves didn't understand it. Except the Lord began to explain it to them. But we all have a heart. We all have a mind. We all have the right. No, it's more than that. It's a responsibility to hear the Lord and stop and ponder. What's he saying to me? He's not doing this as a tyrant, but as a loving shepherd, appealing to her heart, saying, son, listen to me. Just as a father would as we raise our children. We don't callously demand things that they don't know, expect things that they don't know, but we train. I care about that child. I'm interested in them learning. And we realize they don't know everything today, but I invest in that child. The Lord does that with you and I. We don't understand everything the first day, but the Lord, as a shepherd, lovingly talks to us. And he that hath ear to hear, listen, ponder, and let the Lord open our hearts. And that's what Jesus was teaching here to these people, giving them these scenarios of how the word of the Lord goes out into the world today. But it's not just, it is shed abroad, but it's more than that. Specifically, when it lands on our heart, we have responsibility. What do we do with that? Some fell among stony places, where they had not stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, what about this sun? They were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Another place it talked about, they started out. They heard the word and they eagerly received and it sprung up and then it didn't take long when they began to face opposition because of the word, it said. When they began to feel opposition, some temptation, things came their way and it was difficult. Perhaps later on, here, if I go ahead and read Jesus' description of it, this one we could maybe come up with it, his explanation. But when they begin to feel the abrasion, the separation that the word creates between us and the mind of the flesh, God would bring us to a place of holy communion with the Lord. The Lord would like to bring us to a place where our heart is readily receptive. Our heart is fixed on Thee, O Lord. My heart is fixed on Thee. I'm interested in being Yours, precious Lord. Even in the midst of this corrupt and evil world we live in, my heart is fixed on You, Lord. I want to serve You. And this is something that the Lord spawns within our heart by His touch, by His Spirit, by His seed that He drops within our heart. And the Lord would have us have a ready tilled soil that the fallow ground would be broken up and ready to receive and allow it to grow prosperously in our heart. Over here, as we go on a little bit farther, perhaps we'll go on down and read more of it too.
And some fell among thorns. The thorns sprung up and choked them. Others fell into good ground. Thank the Lord, there's good ground out there. And we can be that. And let's go on now to the 10th verse. Disciples came, said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. Him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath." Now notice the scenario that Jesus laid out here. The people, the disciples, who were right there by him. They came and asked, "You know, why do you speak to them in parables?" And it seemed that the disciples themselves were likely having difficulty really applying. What does this really mean? This is a parable. In our human mind, what does this mean? What's the depth of this instruction that you're giving? And they came and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And Jesus said, "Well, to you is given to understand, to them not." They heard the same thing, didn't they? They both heard the same thing. And it doesn't appear like the disciples really heard more, understood more than what the rest of the crowd. But they came to him, didn't they? They came and said, "Lord, why?" There is a balancing edge. There's a dividing line that can happen if you hunger and thirst. You'll be filled. If you seek, if you knock, remember those? It'll be open to you. To them, and again, I believe it would also go back to the scriptures, whosoever hath ears, let him hear. Let him stop and ponder and ask questions. I go back to the difference that I find in a school class setting. There are people that have high IQs and seemingly they can absorb anything they want to at random and just can grasp it. But that doesn't mean they're going to be qualified to really know and understand what was being taught. They can be so brilliant that they act like they're self-assured and don't really care and can listen and just let things go because it's not interesting to them. They don't have ears to hear, you see. They let it go on by. And there might be somebody sitting right next to them that doesn't have the IQ and they have to work for everything they have, they get, they have to, and still get C's, or in my case, D's. I didn't do well in school, I'm sorry. But I found the balance. After I got saved, I did do better. Because I had different interests, you see. I was more, the Lord had done a change in my heart. But I want to go back to the scenario here. When the person who may be not so intellectual, but yet they have a desire, have got an ear to hear. And, "Teacher, I heard you say something. Jesus, why do you say this to them? Why do you use this technique to talk to them?" Well, perhaps this technique was one that was intended to those minds who was interested in finding out. They ask questions and they come back pondering. If you have an ear to hear, let him hear. Begin to think about it. Engage your seeking and your knocking and your hunger. And that person sitting in the classroom situation, he will begin to ask questions and actually learn how to apply it in their life. And as we seek,
To know the Lord better, dear ones, I want to tell you, from one brick to the next will be laid. Another, the foundation is there, and the Lord begins to build one after another until our understanding is increased and encouraged, and it flows in a greater measure. To him that hath will be given. But if you're not interested, there will never be another brick laid. In fact, it will decay. If you don't hunger in the way I understand this, if we don't hunger after righteousness, if we don't seek, if we don't knock, if we have no interest, you will not attain. Isn't that the way life is? And I believe Jesus was working with people in that same vein. He was interested in them understanding and recognizing. And he said, when the disciples came to ask, whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. So those who, again, hunger, those who want to know. Go back to another parable real quick. Kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure. Where was it? Laying out there on top? No, it was in the field. And it seems as though we think about the pearl of great price and the treasure hidden in the field. It was there. And once perceived and recognized, that individual was willing to dig, was willing to mine in this field. This was his. He wanted to pay the price. He was willing to give up all to come and follow the Lord. What was the difference in between the rich young ruler and the 12 that did follow? Didn't they both hear the same call? Did they not? Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, all these, they heard the call. Some were fishing, and Jesus, it seemed almost like he walked by and looked over at them and maybe engaged them a little and said, come and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And straightway they did it. There was something there that said, I believe, I see something here that's greater than these nets. Or something intrigued their understanding, and they said, I will turn and I will leave this behind. All their living, what they were used to doing, was laid down there, and they walked away and followed Jesus. And a rich young ruler who seemed to be perhaps self-sufficient, his ground evidently wasn't tilled up well. And he heard this same appeal that the others did. He came almost, it seems, eagerly with anticipation and knelt before the Lord and said, good master, what do I need to do? I've done all these other things. I've done well according to the law of Moses. I feel very accomplished. And Jesus said, one thing you lack. And he told him what he needed to do. The decision was wholly left in the mind, in the hands of the rich young ruler. Because it said Jesus loved him as he walked away. But he didn't come back and say, oh no, hang on. I want you to follow me. You didn't hear me right. Yeah. No, he let him go. The man walked away. But he heard the same appeal that the other 12 did. Jesus said, go and sell all that you have. Lay your nets down. His heart wasn't right, was it? There was something that he was unwilling. There were some stony places. There was places that didn't receive that word well. You know, the word is more than... This is the word, don't get me wrong. But when Jesus spoke to that man, that was a word. That was a word that spoke to him. And he heard it, and it struck deep within his heart. He realized that he wasn't there. I can't receive that. And what he had before, he came with a certain sense of assurance that I have done well under the old law system. I've dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's, and I've done well. All these have I done from my youth up. But the one thing you lack,
is you're very self-assured. You are very, you believe, you lean very much to yourself and go and sell it and come and follow me. And he chose not to. That tells me a little bit of something about our garden. Makes a difference in how much it's going to grow. We have something to do with that. Now, will the Lord come and help us and point out places? Yes, indeed. He will, but many times He hands us a shovel. Said, now you break it up. The Lord in His mercy will reveal. The Lord in His mercy will bring us to that place of decision and says, now it's yours. What are you going to do with it? Oh, I remember that after my mother was a good gardener. My father was a good farmer. We milked the cows and tilled the land and did those type of things. And many times as a child, I was gotten up kind of early. And Mama said, it's a good morning before it gets hot. It's a good morning to go out there and pick the peas or whatever it was. I didn't like it. It was a job. It was something. But there is no way that you can just lay your hand on the plow and say, I've done my job. You lay your hand on the plow and start plowing. And don't quit. And whenever we went ahead and dug the potatoes and picked some peas and had that first new peas with some new potatoes mixed together in that pot, you may not like peas, but maybe it's because you haven't had good fresh garden peas with good fresh garden potatoes. Or my mama's, because those were good. And I learned to love them. But what I'm really saying is that whenever the Word is embedded in our heart and cared for, and we look well to the fertility of the soil of our heart, I'm saying, Lord, have your way in my life. I want you to ride prosperous in me. And you put your hand to the plow, don't think. We are so susceptible to the idea of the ease that you just do it and you just say amen, and the Lord just does everything else. And it's so easy, and I have no battles, because, folks, that's not the way it is. You're going to have your battles. When the sun arises, when the trials come because of the Word, when there is a dividing line, we have to come to the place of decision, then God would have us to say, yea, Lord, have thy way. Yea, Lord, keep on working. And yes, Lord, I'm trembling a little bit. My legs are weary. I'm tired right now. I'm a little sore. I don't know exactly all's going on around me. I don't understand well what's going on. But my hand's on this plow, and we're going to keep digging. I'm going to keep on. Though I don't understand well right now, the place in my heart says amen to you. Because I want to have... Oh, I know sometimes I've done it simply because I knew it was right and I wanted to make heaven. But folks, there's fruit that comes from this too. There is something then when we're faithful to the Lord, when we let the Lord bring us through the hard places, there is a fruit that comes out of that life that speaks to other people. And it's a sweet fruit. When the fruit that came out, we look back in the Scripture and we recognize the fruit, what happened in the life. We don't know his name, the rich young ruler. The fruit that came out of that is not one, when we taste it, it doesn't taste good. We say, that wasn't a right decision, oh rich young ruler. That wasn't what you should have done. We recognize it. How hardly it is for those who trust in themselves to enter into the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to go past through the eye of a needle. God would have us to not trust in ourselves, but to trust in him. And allow him to come and work with us, and yes, even hand us the shovel and say, here's where it is, child. Here's the unprofitable part of your heart. Here's the place that's not saying amen to me. Now dig it up. And that digging up is ours to do. Over here in the in this Matthew, the 13th chapter, as we go forward a little bit more, Jesus began to explain it to his disciples. For whosoever, maybe the 13th verse now, is that where we are? Therefore spake I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. This is what Isaiah was speaking of, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's hearts, here's the reason why. Jesus went on to explain how this happens. For this people's heart is waxed gross. This garden, this place that was intended to receive well and grow well, something's happened to it. This people's heart is waxed gross. There is a waxing, there is a process that they went into of hardness. There's a process of compaction of this soil. There's a process that went on that caused it to be unprofitable. They waxed gross. You heard, you know what those terms are. Waxed, you understand it? Waxing and waning. It's not a term we use very readily today, but the waxing, when he says as wax grows, this denotes the idea it's progressed this direction. It wasn't always that way. The beginning it wasn't, but then it waxed that way. It grew harder and more difficult and more set in my ways as I got older. My heart became, instead of more tender toward the Lord, it became less tender. And it became harder and more difficult, and my ears began to be more stopped up. These people's heart is waxed gross, and their eyes, they have closed. They have closed. They could have seen. They had been given ears, and they'd been given eyes. But what caused them not to? They didn't value what was being said, or didn't value what was being portrayed to them. Jesus clearly came and set it out there before them, and every one of them could have said, oh, sweet master, I heard what you said. I don't understand it well, but I want to. Would you break that down to us? The disciples heard some of this explanation. Not everybody else did. And these people said their eyes, they have closed. And there's a reason why they closed it. Read on. Eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Well, being healed sounds like a good thing. Wouldn't that be something that wouldn't we want? How about, you know, the good news of the gospel today is there is still a God that takes broken lives and brings healing into it. The good news of the gospel is yet today that not only does the Lord heal souls, but he also heals bodies. The good news of the gospel, the Lord has the answer for humanity. But not everybody wants to be healed. Sometimes we just want our way. And so, again, Lord, help us not to be set in our way. But say, Lord, I've heard the sweet appeal, and I'm not sure I understand it all well. But I know where I won't go anywhere else. Thou hast the words of eternal life. I'm not going somewhere else. The disciples didn't understand when Jesus said, eat my flesh and drink of my blood. They didn't understand that. It was a step perhaps too far almost for them. But they came to this point. I don't know where else to go. Thou hast the words of eternal life, and I'm staying here, even though I don't understand it. And folks, all precious souls today, there will be places in our lives that the Lord will lead us through that I don't know what's going on right now. That's where faith and trust comes in. If we stay there, I don't understand, but Lord, please help me to understand I'm going to be here. I don't know where else to go. Give me more. Right now I'm confused. I don't know well. But I believe every one of those who gathered around him began to understand more. To them that hath, more will be given. Greater measure. And the fertility of their heart's soil will begin to bloom. It will work well in our lives. The Prince of Peace will bring the fruit of peace in our life. That's what the Lord wants to do for every one of us. Well, these people, Jesus described those who wouldn't hear, those who wouldn't see, as those who actually close their eyes and stop their ears. That it was risky to them. They didn't want to change. They didn't want to give up what they'd held onto the past. In some cases, the Jewish man had to say, I've got some foggy understanding. I'm seeing a little unclearly, but it's excited my heart. It feels like it's the Lord near. And he's saying about his son that takes away the sin of the world. And I'm not knowing how to reconcile this gospel with the way I was trained coming up. I don't know how to deal with that. And he had to learn that the word did say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give. He had to receive that. He wrestles with this. And the Lord in his mercy gives him greater reason every day. If he'll seek and knock, it gives him greater reason every day to say, this is indeed the Son of God. I believe the centurion at the foot of the cross, he smote his breast and confessed. Very strong. Wasn't it the centurion, the soldier at the foot of the cross? And confessed, this is indeed the Son of God. Lord, help us to do that. With all of our heart, even what I don't understand. And I'm confused in my mind. Let the Lord reveal himself to us in greater measures. Step by step, stone upon stone, line upon line, here a little, there a little. I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things, those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. And he goes on, tells another parable of a sower. A parable of a sower that, again, seed was scattered. And amongst the seed, well, you know the story, how sometimes there were some tares got scattered. And they said, why didn't you plant good seed? Yes, planted good seed. But the enemy comes in. And this is something, again, for us to recognize. I see our time's getting away. God would have us recognize that one of the things that can happen in our garden without hardly perceiving it is that weeds can start growing there. We don't recognize them very well. In a wheat field, there is a blade of grass that comes up that looks almost identical to the wheat. We call it cheat. Have you ever heard that name? Cheat. Reason why we call it cheat. I don't know why they call it cheat. I could call it cheat because it's taken away from the real. It's cheating. It's not real at all. And when it grows, it'll grow up faster. And it'll try to take away from the rest. That's like the tares in our life. The devil will come along. You hunger and thirst and you wanting to follow the Lord and giving your all to the Lord, not knowing, not intending to allow anything in there. But the devil comes by and without notifying you, he just kind of throws some seed over there. One time, I'm going to go back to garden again. My grandpa, it was early in the year. He had corn up about that tall. And he was filing, he was sharpening his hoe. I said, Grandpa, what you doing? What you going to do with that? He said, I'm fixing to go out and cut some weeds. I said, Grandpa, that corn's only an inch and a quarter tall. And I don't see any weeds out there. They're only this little. He said, that weed dies real easy when it's that young. I said, that's the best time to get it. Can we take some counsel from the garden? And from our Lord. And when we recognize something growing that isn't like the Lord, and these things manifest in carnality, self, they will manifest. I'm always interested. My carnal mind is always interested in preserving me. It's always interested in promoting me. But not so in the kingdom of heaven. If any man would come after the Lord, we would make use of the cross and deny ourselves. Take up that cross and follow the Lord. And in following, there's no room for self-promotion. Not saying which one's greater in the kingdom of heaven or which one's less. We're all children. Are we not? Let him be a servant. Let him love his brother enough to let his brother be right. Maybe I should say it differently than that. Let him love his brother enough to allow his brother perhaps to even walk over him. David gave an example in the Old Testament like this, didn't he? Remember when he was fleeing? And a man was over there cursing him? His entourage, his bodyguard said, let me go take his head off. And David said, don't do that. He said, perhaps the Lord told him to curse David. That shows the spirit that the Lord would have us. Lord would have us to have a heart that even though we don't do everything always right, perfectly, but have a heart that says, Lord, have your way. Lord, do away with it. So I'm taking up the cross today, Lord. I want to follow you today. Tender my heart. Help me to tender. Give me the proper tools. Give me the eyesight. Open my eyes to recognize the places you're putting your finger on in my heart. Thy rod and thy staff. Though sometimes they seem like they could be hard, but thy truth and thy righteousness and your touch, it comforts me, Lord. I'm confronted by it. Yes, indeed, I'm confronted by it. But oh, that's so good, so much good to my soul. When we humble our heart, ourselves under the mighty hand of God, there is a richness, there is a reward that comes from that growing, that seed then that is growing uninhibited in our heart. And it blesses our life, yes. But no, that garden is more than just for us. That garden is for our neighbors. That garden, that produce is intended to be shared. To be rejoiced over. Come and rejoice with me. Look what we found. And it is also intended to be a portrayal of Christ himself. That others may see, not just in theory, when we talk about Christ, but may actually see Christ in action. Pray for me. I want to serve him.